Well, this morning, I'm going to attempt to do something that maybe many of you have hoped I would have done for a long, long time ago. I'm going to preach a better sermon. And we're going to do that by looking at some uses of the word better in the Bible. In fact, two of the wisest men to ever live on the earth, Solomon and, of course, Jesus, the Son of God, were very fond of the word better. Look at Ecclesiastes. Let's look at two readings from Solomon, and from one from Solomon, one from Jesus. But look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, if you will. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verses 1 through 10. In Ecclesiastes 7, beginning at verse 1, you'll see how Solomon has quite a fondness for the word better. Ecclesiastes 7, beginning at verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, "Why were the former days better than these?" For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. You'll see in those 10 verses, without us giving really a very extensive explanation of any of this for our lesson this morning, that Solomon uses the word better over and over and over. You know, I also find it kind of interesting, verse 10, when he says, do not say what? Why were the former days better than these? You know, what do we find ourselves saying so many times? Boy, it's not like it used to be. It sure was a lot better back then, and so on and so forth. And he says that when you do that, you do not inquire wisely concerning this. So it's not better to always say that it used to be better. And yet, we see not only does Solomon have this affinity for the word better. In fact, we might be tempted to think of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament when we think of the word better. It has 13 chapters, and the word better is used 13 times in the book of Hebrews. And so we might be tempted to think of the book of Proverbs, but in the book of Hebrews, but in the book of Ecclesiastes by Solomon, the word better is used 23 times. In fact, if you count the Proverbs that are attributed to Solomon, Solomon uses the word better over 40 times. Jesus was also fond of the word better. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 is just one example we want to look at. Jesus used the word better at least 7 different times in his various lessons and dealing with people. But in Mark chapter 9, verses 42 and following, he uses it 4 times. Mark 9, beginning at verse 42. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him that a millstone would be hung around his neck and he were thrown into the depth of the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, and where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Jesus and Solomon, both very fond of the word better. But I want us to spend the duration of our time now looking at 4 different things that are mentioned in the Bible that are better. There are many things. This lesson could have numerous points to it. But for our purpose this morning and for our time this morning, I want us to look at 4 things that the Bible tells us that are better. Number one, wisdom in our heart is better than money in our wallet. Wisdom in our heart is better than money in our wallet. If you would, look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 11. And the point that is being made here is that wisdom in our heart is better than money in our wallet. Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. To you, simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All of the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom, the wisdom that is crying out, the wisdom that is described in the first 9 or 10 verses, wisdom is better. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Wisdom in our heart, wisdom in our mind, wisdom in our life is better than money in our wallet. You keep reading in the book of Proverbs. Turn a page or two over in your Bible to the 15th chapter of Proverbs. Look at verses 16 and 17. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. There's some things that are just better. And it's better to have wisdom in our heart than money in our wallet. One more passage from the Old Testament as we think about this. From the 119th Psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, the longest psalm, the 119th Psalm, verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. You see, wisdom found in God's word and God's law is better than thousands of gold and silver coins. Wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom in our heart that we find in the word of God is better than anything material anything monetary, anything tangible, wisdom is better. So find wisdom. But now, number two. Friendship is better than being alone. Friendship is better than being alone. We go back to the book of Ecclesiastes from the writings of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and following, tell us that friendship, companionship, fellowship, but friendship is better than being alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Two are better than one. That's why this is point number two. But two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. And if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Someone has suggested, in fact, Warren Wiersbe in his book on Ecclesiastes has suggested the following approach to this particular text about how two are better than one, and friendship or companionship is better than being alone. As you look at verse 9, two are better when it comes to working. You look at verse 10, two are better when it comes to walking. Now, it talks about falling there, but most of our falls happen when we're walking. So two are better, number one, than working, or when working. Two are better than one when walking. Verse 11, two are better than one when it comes to warmth, staying warm. Verse 12, two are better than one when it comes to withstanding. And so you've got two are better than one, working, walking, warming, and withstanding. Two are better than one. Companionship, friendship is better than being alone. In this particular text, I want you to notice, he started with the number one. Then he moved up to the number two. And then look how it closes in verse 12 with the number three. And as we make New Testament application of that threefold cord, we have to understand that in all our relationships, in all our companionships, in all the connections that we have and friendships that we have, intertwined between me and whoever that person might be, the closest of relationships of husband and wife, the closest of companionship like that, but then other friendships and fellowships and companions that we have, intertwined in between every other person that I have that companionship or friendship with, there needs to be a third person, Jesus. And that threefold cord is not quickly broken. Not when Jesus binds us and ties us and strengthens us together. And there is definitely power and strength in numbers. And there is a great blessing in having multiple friends and multiple companions. Because friendship is better than being alone. Point number three. Humility with the holy is better than dwelling with the disobedient. Humility with the holy is better than dwelling with the disobedient. Psalm 84, verses 10 and 11. Psalm 84, verse 10. the psalmist writes, and the psalm itself is about the greatness of God and the privilege and the blessing of dwelling in the house of God. The time the psalmist wrote this, no doubt he would have been thinking about the tabernacle being the house of God. But the psalmist writes, "For a day in your courts," addressing God, "a day in your courts is better. A day in your courts is better than a thousand." The implication meaning anywhere else. One day in God's court is better than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, it is better to be humble. It is better to have humility with the holy God than to dwell in the house or the tents of the wicked, the disobedient. Humility with the holy is better than dwelling with the disobedient. Now, you should be glad that I worded the point this particular way, because I toyed with a couple of other ideas. And I really thought about saying, lowly with the holy is better than dinner with a sinner. But I decided not to, because I thought about Jesus had a lot of dinners with sinners, didn't he? But humility with the holy is better than dwelling with the disobedient. You keep reading in our text there in the 84th Psalm, verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him who walks uprightly." Walk in humility. Humility. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather have the lowliest possible position, the psalmist says, in relationship to the tabernacle, the temple, to the house of God. I'd rather be the most humble servant, the lowest guy on the totem pole, than to be in the greatest tent of the greatest people, surrounded by the greatest wealth, and to dwell in that tent where there is wickedness and disobedience and sin and evil behavior. I had rather have the smallest spot, the least place in God's house, than the finest seat with the disobedient. Humility with the holy. It's better to be at the threshold of God's house than to be inside the house full of evil, sinful, disobedient behavior. You see, when we have the Lord, and that's what verse 11 says, when we have the Lord is all we need. When we are faithfully walking with God, it does not matter where we dwell. It does not matter where we stand. It does not matter what surrounds us as far as the fact that we've got to think we've got to be in the greatest, biggest place and the grandest thing and be surrounded by the grandest people. That no longer matters, because humility with holy God is better. It is better. A day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. And we understand that as the psalmist was most likely making reference to the temple as the house of God, that the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the house of God today is the church. 1 Timothy 3:15, as Paul is writing to the younger man Timothy, he says, "That you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar of the living God." So where am I dwelling? Where are you staying? Where are you living? In humility with the Holy One? Or dwelling with the disobedient in their tents and their houses? Where am I dwelling? Where am I staying? It's better. A day in the courtyard of God, a day at the threshold of God's house, is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Better. But now number four. Heaven is better than earth. In fact, we're going to modify that just a little bit from Philippians chapter 1. And this point really ought to say, heaven is far better than earth. Heaven is far better. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul finds himself in jail unjustly. Satan is working. And he finds himself in a situation that we might be tempted to be in despair and disgust about. And yet he is still trying to work for God. And he's even teaching, apparently, the guards who are around him. And that the word of God and the gospel is being spread in spite of the fact that they're trying to restrain him and stop him. And yet he knows the conditions are less than desirable. He's not rejoicing over his circumstances. He's not saying, you know, isn't it great to be here? I wish I was here all the time. I'm sure he had rather be somewhere else. And he sort of makes allusion to that in Philippians chapter 1 when we begin reading at verse 21. Remember the context. Remember where he is. In verse 21 he says, "For to me to live is Christ, but what? And to die is gain." There's more to gain from dying than living. To live is Christ. That's a great thing. But to die is even greater. To die is gain. "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ." Look what he says. "Which is far better." As godly a man, as tireless a worker, as the Apostle Paul was, as much as he desired to stay, that it might mean fruit and productivity for the gospel, and more people would hear and believe and obey, there were times when he was hard-pressed when he looked at the circumstances that he was in. And he thought, "I could stay here and I could do some great things for God, then God could work through me and people could hear the gospel. Oh, but if I could just leave, if I could just depart and be with Jesus, that would be far, far better." And I highly suspect that as I speak to each and every one of us in here, particularly the higher mileage we have, the more we know what he's talking about, the more we understand. You see, heaven is far better than earth. But he doesn't say earth is bad. In verse 23, verse 22, he says, you know, I could still do some things if I stay here. In fact, keep reading in the text here. Look at verse 24. "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. I could help someone else." Being confident of this, "I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith, and that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." You see, he's not being pessimistic. He's not ready to take his life. He's not ready to say, I give up, I quit. In fact, he's really saying that the here and now is good. The here and now has a lot of possibilities. The here and now, you can be a blessing to me and I can be a blessing to you. But you and I both know that in spite of how good the here and now can be, there is another place that is far better than this one. And to that direction we turn as our hope and our consolation and our blessing. So heaven is far better than earth. Now, let's see if we can wrap all of this up, draw it to a close, and let me lay it in your lap. And I know as I say the words, draw it to a close, and you're thinking about the conclusion of the sermon, and it's about to be over. Maybe your mind is also thinking about a better passage that we read a few moments ago in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. But we're at the end of the thing. And let me tell you how it can be better than the beginning. And that's what you do with it. That's what I do with it. Because we're talking about the Word of God here. And when we think about the teachings of Scripture, there's a passage that uses the word better that I hope we will not let describe us. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and following. And in this chapter, false teachers and unfaithful people have been described. And as there's this description of unfaithful people, the Holy Spirit says through Peter in verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," that's someone who has become a Christian. That's someone, look at what it says, "he has escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's someone who has turned from sin, he has repented, he has turned to Jesus, he has had his sins washed away, that's the pollution, he has had all of that washed away when he was immersed into Christ, and now he has become a child of God. But after having escaped the pollutions and through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The Christian turns back to the world. The Christian turns back to the sinful lifestyle. They are entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Remember what we're saying here? Don't let this be you. "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having been washed, to her wallowing in the mire." Don't let this describe you. Don't let the case be better that you never heard and believed and obeyed the gospel than that you have heard it, but you've turned away, and now you're unfaithful. Don't let this describe you. Don't let this be you. And if it is you, return and be restored. And we continue to think about the teachings of Scripture and the word better. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Samuel tells the unfaithful King Saul, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Don't let this be you either. And don't let this describe you either. Sacrifice was not condemned here. In fact, Samuel is not saying that sacrifice is bad. Sacrifice is not bad. But obeying is better. To obey is better than sacrifice. And that kind of gets at the heart of what's my motivation for the sacrifice. What was Saul's motivation for the sacrifice on that occasion? It wasn't really prompted by righteousness and holiness. I mean, he did the right actions, but he didn't do them obediently. And he offered the sacrifice, but he didn't offer it obediently. That was the issue. What is my motivation for what I do? Am I only going through the motions? Am I just doing things to be seen of other people and to satisfy other people and to keep other people off my back? Where is my heart? To obey is better than sacrifice. Because if you obey, the sacrifice and all of the Christian life will naturally follow. You see, Saul had gotten it all in the wrong order. And if you've got it out of order, make it right. And do the right thing. This can be for you a better day. Today you can begin a better life. And you ultimately can go to a better place. Would you come as we stand and we sing?
There's a great...